While we look at today's gospel, we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, even though we're in the Easter season, as Pastor Penny said before, this lesson takes us back to the days before Easter when things really seemed to be falling apart. And the disciples were having a hard time figuring out what was going on. They'd been with Jesus months, if not years before, and now he's saying things about needing to leave them. And they know that they're in trouble with the Jews, in trouble with the Roman authorities. And just before the words of our lesson today, Judas has left the meal as they're gathered for this, what we call the Last Supper with the Lord. And he's going to betray Jesus to the authorities. And Thomas, who has later questions Jesus after the resurrection about, is this really you who have been raised from the dead, is already asking hard questions of Jesus in this meal before the crucifixion. Jesus speaks, but Thomas asks, how can we know the way to the Father? He's questioning Jesus on what Jesus is saying to them. And so in many ways, this scene is like a family meal where the conversation is heavy, not light, and where there are varying opinions. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, many of our family's more significant discussions were around the meal table. That was more likely to happen than calling a family meeting about a certain topic. Meals were the place where issues as well as plans and dreams were brought up and shared and discussed. Well, as Jesus shares the Last Supper with his disciples, the disciples are still trying to figure things out. Times are getting tense, and they're beginning to wonder what's going to happen to them. They wonder where Jesus is going to go. He keeps talking about going someplace. Can they see the Father? He brings the Father into this language. They likely wonder why he has to leave. Why can't they go along with him wherever he's going? They must have wondered, why is all this happening? Thomas had wondered out loud, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Well, these questions are whys and they're whats. Why is this happening? What's going on? When Jesus replies, though, he comes from a different direction. He answers more like they're asking who. It's not about the whys. It's not about the whats. But it's about who. It's about him. And he is about the Father. He and the Father are one, he says. And since he and the Father are one, if they are with him, they are with the Father. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's not answering really the questions about what or where or how, but it's answering the who question. He's telling them and telling us that when we are with him, the why question and the when question and the where questions aren't so important. We don't need to know the facts so much. What we need is a relationship with him. When we have that relationship, as he is with the Father, we are with the Father. It's knowing that the direction that really matters is following him. That's the main thing, the who, the Jesus, following him. We get ourselves into binds like that too. We ask the questions about where and when and how when we want to know about God. But Jesus reminds us that it is about being one with him. When we have the relationship with him, the questions aren't so important. Martin Luther applied the same kind of solution to the questions surrounding Holy Communion. There were theologies of his day which tried to explain exactly how Christ would be in the bread and the wine, and how the bread and the wine could still be maintain themselves but still be the body and blood of Christ. And there were other theories out that said it couldn't possibly be the body and blood of Christ, but just a symbol of them. But Luther went to the who of Jesus being as the important idea. Just as we come to the Father through Jesus, we believe Jesus is with us in Holy Communion. We believe that we receive him and God. He is the way to the Father. And God is present as we believe Jesus is present. As Jesus is present, God, we are present with God in this holy meal. Well, as we live our lives and as we have our meals together, to know Jesus is with us is what makes the difference. We have questions about the why and the what's of God, and it's always good to keep probing about what do these things mean about God. But meanwhile, we have the best approach to God's presence, and that's through our friend Jesus, who is the way, and he's the truth, and he is the life. Many families will be eating together today as they gather around the mothers and the families. And may you then receive Jesus in your gathering. May his presence give faith to persevere in hard situations. And may his presence bring love. And may it give motivation to families to live actively in love and service to those who are around them. Well, the meal Jesus was having with his disciples was a particularly hard one. There's a reason it's called the Last Supper. The disciples did eat with Jesus on occasion after the resurrection, but this is the last known gathering of all the disciples with Jesus at a dinner. There was danger, and Jesus was saying things that were hard to hear. They thought they had promised to follow him for life, and now he was going to be taken from them. It had to have been a hard time for them. Well, this account of this last meal was likely written some 50 to 80 years later after the meal happened. And again, 50 or 80 years later, Christian groups were asking the whys and the whats of what it meant to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. There was some tension within Christianity, and certain groups were starting to split off. Some kind of believed this direction, some kind of believed this way. These words of Jesus were shared by John in his gospel, are written by John to unite the church and say, you can have your different philosophies and so forth, but let's remember Jesus is at the heart of what we want to be. He is the key. If we have a relationship with him, that's what counts. Change is always brings complexity. And the disciples with Jesus wanted to stay with Jesus, yet he needed to ascend to the Father so that the whole world might come to him. By his ascending, all the world might call him Lord. And so the early church had to learn how to deal with life without a physical Jesus. And they also had to learn about how to deal with differing beliefs, and then they had to move around a lot because they were persecuted. So it was hard in those early days of the Christian church. Change is hard in our families, too. We grow older, children grow, and most often go to live on their own. We know that we don't physically live forever, and so change comes. We say goodbyes along the way. A number of the issues the disciples in the early church were facing are with us today, just as we deal with what we call normal family transitions. But how do you maintain a church that is to be one, that defines itself differently in different areas? How does the church do mission in different ways, in different places? Just as families kind of go all over and do things differently in different places, the church is in different places too. A phrase that has stuck with me a long time is by a family systems person by the name of Virginia Satir. Her quote is that the best gifts parents can give their children are roots and wings. Whether we're a mom in a family or a leader in the church, the same adage can apply. Good gifts we can leave for the health of the family or a church are roots and wings. Roots are those connections we have. In our families, we feel connected to one another. We endeavor to share the same values. We teach the faith to our children. We want our children to be grounded in the things we have come to know as the best things. We want to have them to have a solid base and foundation from which to live their lives. We want them to have good, strong roots so they will not be toppled or swayed easily by the temptations which could take them away from the best family values. At the same time, we know that the design for them is that they grow and mature and be able to function well on their own. And this can be a hard tension between the roots we're planting with them and the wings that they grow, and which means that we'll have to say goodbye. It's a hard tension. We love our children, we want them to be connected to us, yet if we smother them, they will not thrive. We also want them to be well prepared to live and take life in a direction that their skills and preferences will take them. It can be a lively tension, and it can be healthy, and it can feel good for all, even though the sight of the young ones leaving the nest is never an easy one to take. But we live with the same kind of creative tension in the church. We need to focus on our roots and be aware of what we believe and who has come before us, and to go back to Jesus as the one in whom we are rooted, really. Yet Jesus has called us not just to gather, but to go out to all the world. As the early disciples, both by mission plan and because of the persecution that they were enduring, moved away from Jerusalem and had to go to other places to cover the earth, so we, the church today, still can't huddle together. We need to go out. It's a tension, though. As a congregation, we can be tempted to focus inwardly and think of mostly about our experience with one another in the congregation and focus on the fellowship we have. But at the same time, we always need to be looking outward and being reaching out to others. As a congregation, Jesus calls us to have wings, to go out, to live in a way that would be best to bring Jesus to the neighborhood around us. So both as families and as a congregation, we need to have roots and wings and a good balance. We seek to have our relationship with Jesus be the prime reason that we establish good foundations, as well as to hear the call to reach out so that all might know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. May we be rooted in him, and may we take him with us as we live in his name each day in the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.